So, how many love Jesus tonight? How many know that Jesus is the answer to your situation? He's the beginning and the end. He's the middle. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I was just thinking about, usually when I get a word from God, it's usually for me first, before I even give it to anybody else. I think it's that way with most pastors, you know. And we were going to talk about distractions tonight. Amen. Distractions. Amen? we need to recognize, well, let me pray. Let me pray first. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and your Holy Spirit, Father. Give me utterance in the Holy Ghost and the people, a witness in their spirit and a revelation knowledge of your word, Father, as it goes forth tonight. And I trust the Holy Spirit to cause this to become real to them in each one of their lives, and me first, in the name of Jesus. So we need to recognize distractions. There's good ones, there's bad ones, and there's the middle of the road ones. How many know that? So not all distractions are bad. Many of them are necessary distractions. And then there's things that we must separate the necessary ones from the not so necessary ones. Amen? That are not necessary at all. We need to get rid of in our life. Amen? Amen. And they confront every one of us. So, but distractions can cause accidents. How many know that? Amen. I almost had one today. I was on my way someplace and my husband called me and the phone rang at the same time and I was driving. But the example that I wanted to give was the fact that when you're in your car, now there's a law, I think, and you're texting or you're talking on the telephone in your car, you know, while driving and even speaking, even or texting. Because when you text, you need two hands. You need two hands to do that, and you need to keep your eyes on the road. And I know all of us have been guilty of doing that. And it's a real distraction. And even speaking into the phone, a text could be a distraction. And you can have an accident because you're still holding that phone, and then you make a mistake. That's the worst part of texting, making the mistakes, and you have to go back, and people don't, or leaving a message. They get the wrong message anyway. It's all messed up. Crazy words, right? So, so it's very hard to do both those things accurately, wouldn't you say? One of them has to give way to the other. You either have to drive or pull over and text. So you can't do both safely. Well, it's the same thing with spiritual things in the kingdom of God. I believe one of the devil's greatest tools is distractions. Distractions from reading, particularly the Word of God. That's probably the most vital. I'm in a hurry to get ahead of myself, but that's probably the most vital thing. There's sometimes I feel so bad, I'm in a hurry, I'll just read. And you, I don't know how many of you are guilty of doing that. You read and like you didn't get anything from it. You know, I mean, you're going through the motions because you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. And that's just being honest. I mean, I've done that before in my life. And then later on, sometimes later on, I'll go back and I'll read and I'll get what the Word of God is saying to me. Amen? And at night, it's too late for me to read. I fall asleep at that point because I go all day. Okay, where am I here? So our spiritual life takes priority, though. It's the most important of the two. Amen? So the devil brings distractions. We have a physical life and a spiritual life. But the most important, our priority, is our spiritual life in Christ. It is. I say that because as our eternal spirits give life to our mortal bodies, which makes everything physical work inside of us, you take away your spirit and you have nothing more than an empty shell. Amen? So the spiritual life takes priority over the physical life. Amen? When you say that, your spiritual life. But sometimes we don't realize that. We cater to our flesh and to our bodies more than we do to the spirit man inside of us. I mean, we're grateful to God for all he's done for us and all he gives us, and we praise him, but we go about our business sometime. We're so busy during the day that we forget those things until we hear something real bad, and then all of a sudden, boing, you know, comes to us, and we realize. So our bodies are more than just an empty shell without our spirits. So our spirits probably, not probably, they are more important than even our physical bodies. The reason why we have these physical bodies is to walk around and tell people about Jesus Christ so that they can come to know him, miss hell, and have eternal life. Because everybody's going to have eternal life. You all know that. They're either going to spend it here or there. You know, and it's not God's will that they spend it there. It's God's will that everybody makes heaven, goes to heaven, and has a good life here on this earth. Amen. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, "So be subject to God, or submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submission. Amen. Submission to God. From this word or from this scripture, we can see who has been given the authority over the devil. We have. Yes. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submission to God is the directions that we get from this verse. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? So the first thing God says is to submit to him. So when you submit to God, you are actually submitting to his word. Amen?
Amen.
And we're talking about how important God's word is in our lives. More important than any distraction. More important than anything. I think the only thing that really takes priority are little babies. They're babies, and you know, and God knows that. But that's probably the most important thing in our lives. And if there's anything the enemy wants to keep you away from, it's the word of God.
Yes.
And God and his word are one. So when you submit to God, you're submitting really to his word. Because they're both one and the same. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, we know who that third person of the Godhead was or is, and we know that it's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who became flesh? Our Lord and our Savior. So he is the Word of God. He came to fulfill God's word. He is the exact image of the Father. Amen? So, and God's word never changes. The Word of God tells us that. It says here in Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, and I change not."
Amen.
So what he says goes. What he says is etched forever in eternity. It's eternal. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now, we all know that. But you know what? We have spiritual ears. Do you know that? We have spiritual ears. We have physical ears to house our spirits, to house our spiritual ears, because your spirit looks just like you. You see, so you have spiritual ears. So when you read the Word of God and you're feeding your spirit, you're feeding your spiritual ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? You understand? So you're hearing that word in your spiritual ears, in your spirit man. So it's not just hearing the word audibly, the way it's coming out tonight, which is excellent. Because the more you hear it, the better it is. But it's also feeding your spiritual ears. Remember that when you read it. You know, so we just think, oh, we need to go to where the word is being taught so that we could hear it. But when you read, you're feeding your spirit and you're feeding your spiritual ears. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So let me see, where am I? All right. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and for everything. So everything was created by the spoken word of God. This is to encourage you tonight. Everything was created by the spoken word of God. And God is still creating things by his word today. It didn't stop at the end of Genesis chapter 1 through 3. Okay? It didn't stop. He's still creating. He has us here to create for him. We are now his arms, his hands, his legs, his mouthpiece. Amen? God is still creating things by his word today through and by us, the children of God.
Amen?
Amen? So that same creative power that was in God's word as he spoke at creation is still available in the written word of God today as we, his people, speak it. We have the ability to create and change things in our lives. And you know, that's something that we need to be reminded of because we forget these things. Am I talking too long already? Are you looking at your watch? Okay. So, amen. Where am I? There you go. Okay. So that same creative power God expects us to use. And the only way we're going to get that in our hearts is by sitting down and giving God the time that we need to give him daily. You know, we like to stay up late. We like to party, godly parties, but we like to have fun, and we do. But then when morning comes, we don't want to get up, and we got to go to work, you know? So I believe that it's time to take an assessment of our lives and say, I know I need to do that for myself. You know what I mean? I love God's word.
Yes, hallelujah.
But we're all, like I said, we're all pulled in so many directions that there's times where I just read to get out of the house. I got to go, you know? So John 6:63 says, God's word, our spirit and life. So as we partake of God's word, as we read it, they are actually spirit and life. They have the power, listen to this, they have the power to change things in the spirit that affect our physical lives. Did you hear that?
Amen.
God gave me that today. You know, their spirit and life. So we always think, oh, wait, their spirit and life, it's the Holy Ghost, you know, the spirit and life. But their spirit and their life, and we're spirit. You understand? So when you put God's word into your heart, they have the power to change things in the spirit because they're spirit that affect our physical lives. They're spirit and life.
Amen?
Amen? Change things that be not as though they, to call things that be not as though they were. Amen? So that's very important. God's word is given to us so that, and when we take it in, it has the power to change things in the spirit for our physical lives. And we know that because we confess God's word all the time, but I don't think we've ever looked at it that way. You know, Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days, and was tempted 40 days by the devil, he didn't eat anything. And the Bible says, and after he was hungry after 40 days, I'm hungry after 40 minutes. Unfortunately, I get up and an hour later, I'm hungry. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and he did say, you know, that while the bridegroom was here, we didn't need to fast. But when he left, we need to fast.
Amen.
Because he isn't with us any longer physically. Amen? So fasting is something that, you know, we can incorporate in our lives. Not weirdo fasting. How many know that the Spirit and the Word agree?
Yes.
The Spirit and the Word agree. The Holy Ghost does not move apart from God's Word. The Spirit and the Word always agree. People come and say things to us that they've gotten the Spirit, and we go, well, you know, that needs to line up with God's Word.
Yeah.
I mean, if God tells you a particular thing for your life, I mean, who are we to tell you you didn't hear God? But let me say this to you. You need to check. That's a time for fasting and sitting back and hearing God, you see? Because it's not written that Louis moved to Texas on page 365 in the Bible. So that's something that you have to seek God about, amen? And the Spirit and the Word always agree. So if people say, well, you know, I saw an angel and he talked to me. Oh, really? I mean, we do have visitations by angels, but, you know, we don't have them that often. You see what I mean? So I would be very careful when you have these visitations, because the devil is a liar, you know, and the creator of lies, and he'll deceive you. He's a deceiver. He's a fallen angel. So you just have to be careful and always remember that the Spirit and the Word always agree. Amen. And so when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he was tempted 3 times by the devil. And 2 of those times he used, "It is written." It is written. So what we're doing here tonight is saying that distractions many times will steal our time from God's Word. The more Word you have, the higher your faith level will be, you know, and not the more Spirit you have, because the Word is Spirit in life. Amen. But the most important thing, Jesus is the Word. So the most important thing in our life isn't necessarily is the Word of God. But, you know, I always use this as an example. There are people who do good things and good works for a lot of people, but they don't read the Word of God. And that's a good thing. But if that's taken time from your time of reading, you see what I'm saying? Also, if you go early in the morning, you go see somebody, you go visit somebody, or you bring potatoes out to your next door neighbor, or you help somebody do something that's in a real crunch, just remember, double up. Amen? Amen. Double up. Because the devil will use all, he doesn't care, he'll use good things to distract you and get you away from reading, taking time out and sitting down and reading. Amen? That's the whole core, that's his main objective. You know what? If he kills you, you're out of here, you can't do any more work for Christ, you can't bring people to Jesus, all right? And we go home to be with the Lord, all right? But that's not his main objective. His main objective is to steal and keep the Word out of your heart. Amen? Because tell the truth, the more you read, the more the enemy comes with different things to bring anxiety on you and this and that. The more Word you have, the higher your Word level, you don't worry. Because he gave us that command too. Worry and anxiety is really a sin. He talked about that just as much as he talked about adultery and fornication and everything else. He said, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave you." You know, so he wants us to be in peace. And I really believe the only thing that's going to keep us in peace is to keep our Word level higher and higher in our hearts. Amen? Because the enemy wants to rob that from you. And that's what he spoke to him. He says, "Get out of here. Be gone." He says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds," every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You think, well, how are we supposed to do that? Well, we do, and we continue to do it. And the more we do it, the better we'll be, and the less anxiety and frustrations we'll have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the devil left. He said, "Well, I lost that battle." And so the first way God speaks to us, every one of us, is through his Word, his written Word. If you want to hear from God, the things that pertain to your life and your family's life, the first way he's going to speak to you is through his Word. Not visions, not dreams. Does he do that? Yes. But let me tell you something. If you don't have enough Word in your heart and you get these visions and dreams, how are you going to know if they're real or not? Because don't forget, the Spirit and the Word always agree. So if you're having these wonderful visitations that you think is God, you know, and even prophecies, you have to be careful about prophecies. It said not to stop prophecies, the Word says, but you need to examine them. And if you don't have any Word of God in you, how are you going to examine them and know whether they're real or not? You know, somebody comes up to you and says, "Well, it's time for you to go to so-and-so." Oh, really? God didn't speak it to me. What does he need? Am I that far off the mark that he's not going to tell me before he tells you? Listen, if you're walking with God, God's going to speak to you before he speaks to somebody else. Now, if you're out of fellowship with God, even though you're still in, what's the word? You're righteous before him. okay? You're born again, but you're out of fellowship with him, then you may need somebody to come up to you. And they won't even know when they're talking to you sometimes. That's the best way to get a word from somebody. They don't know what's going on in your life, and all of a sudden they just be talking to you, and you go, whoa, they've been reading my mail. You know what I mean? How do they know that? You know? We had a woman in the church when we were on Fisher Boulevard. Pastor was preaching, and after the service, she came up to Pastor, and she said to him, you know, my husband doesn't like you talking about his life like that. My husband goes, ma'am, I don't even know your husband. I mean, I've seen you here a couple of times. I don't know anything about you. And it was really funny. He goes, that's the Holy Ghost. And when that word comes out, it's tailor-made for every person in the church. They're all hearing it according to what the Holy Ghost wants them to hear and what they need in their life. Amen? So Luke 10, 38 through 42 is the incident between Martha and Mary. And I'm going to read this one. Martha was overly occupied. Martha was overly occupied. Good woman, nothing wrong with her. Wonderful. She loved Jesus. Amen? And so he was on his way to their house to visit them. Now, this wasn't the account. This was from Luke, where Lazarus, her brother, had died. And so Martha was overly occupied, too busy. This is the Amplified. Was distracted. I didn't even know that word was in there because I don't remember reading it. But there was the word. Whoa, I said. Martha was overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. I'm a server. I have a tendency to, I like to do that. I like to serve people. I enjoy that. I believe that's just everybody's got different gifts, you know, that God puts in them. And I enjoy that. I enjoy people and I like to serve. But I have to be careful too. You know what I mean? Because she was serving and Jesus said, Martha, Martha. He didn't just say Martha. He said, Martha, Martha. Who's Martha in here? Somebody's Martha, isn't there? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is a need of only one. How could that be? But these people have to be served. You know what? Once they probably sat down with Jesus, they wouldn't care if they had food or not. Amen. You know what I mean? Mary has chosen, he said there, Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage. She shall not be, it shall not be taken away from her. She must have thought, wait till next time. Right? She's cooking and I'm going to get the better portion. Now, so we know that the first way God speaks to us is through his word. Amen. His word and his spirit are always in agreement. So don't let anything take priority over God's word in your life. Amen. Amen. There are many good and legitimate distractions, but there is only one need, one thing, as Jesus told Martha about Mary. So choose your distractions wisely. Amen?
Amen?
Choose them wisely. No distraction is greater than the word, the Spirit of God. Make it your daily bread. Amen? The word of God, our daily bread. And it is. It's word. It's food for our spirits. I was reading something the other day. It was really from the Word of Faith. I'm not late, am I? It was from, not the Word of Faith, Faith to Faith. That is excellent. You see this? Does everybody hold that book up? Hold that up. Hold the cover up. Okay, not from me, I've seen it. Show them. I don't know. We have them out there. Who has one? Does everyone in this church have that? Okay, if you don't, they're out there on the little table. I want to tell you something. There aren't too many devotionals that I'll read. I pick them up and I'll go through them, and some of them are like, you know, God gave you that cancer so that you could learn something. You know, that's obvious, but there are some things in those daily devotionals that I won't even read, you know, because they hinder your faith. They're not the Word of God. But this one, I'd say 99.9 things in this are excellent. Amen. Well, the people in the back of the book are the authors of all the devotionals, and each one of them is very good. So if you don't have one, get one. Get one. And Kenneth Copeland's Word of Faith to Faith is very good. I make sure I read those every day. And I try to read at least the chapter. They say read verses 10 to 15. I'll start from one and read through. You know, I think that's a good thing. It's the least I could do for this spiritual body. Amen? And I do. And there are sometimes, like I said, I read fast, but most of the time I really try not to. And I want to get the revelation of it because I really know the importance and how much I need it. So here's what someone asked. Here's what someone asked the Lord. This was really from Kenneth Copeland, I'll tell you. Someone asked the Lord, or Kenneth Copeland asked the Lord, seeing how the devil hates people, he said, Lord, and how dead set he is on destroying them, it's no wonder we see so much tragedy and disaster in the world, and it's amazing we don't see more. And he asked the Lord about it, and he told him, it takes the realm of darkness. This is what God's answer was. If you read Faith to Faith, you would remember this one. It was just a couple days ago. It takes the realm of darkness a long time to set up major disasters. Just think about it. See, because he really doesn't have authority. You know what I mean? And if people are even following instructions, natural instructions, it's very difficult for him, you know, to override those things, okay? So he says, and he asked the Lord about it, and he told him it takes the realm of darkness a long time to set up major disasters. The aviation industry, for example, it's highly regulated and works hard at policing itself because safety is its product. So they work hard at it in the natural, okay? And we don't know how many spiritual people are there too, working along with them. And besides that, you get people like you and me that go on the planes and fly. And before we fly, we pray for the plane, the captain, the co-captain, all the helpers, the people who, the mechanics. We pray over our luggage. And we thank God that we're on the plane and the righteousness of God is on the plane and our planes get where they're going safely. In the name of Jesus. And we really believe that. And we release our faith for it. I do. And if there's anything wrong with the plane, don't let it get off the ground till it's fixed. Amen. Or don't let it fly. And so we need to, and we need to do that. And cover us, the plane, and all the people that are involved with it with the blood of Jesus. Amen. The air traffic controllers. How do I know where he was last night? Or who he was with? You know, so we pray for them. All right, so, but he says it's highly, they work hard in policing itself because safety is their product. You take a highly regulated system like that, and the devil has to work hard to cause disasters. Now, he can't just come roaring in, he comes like a roaring lion. Okay, roaring in and ripping things up at any time he wants to. If he could, he'd knock every plane out of the sky tonight, but he can't do it. Amen. Okay, he can't do it. Why? Because he's bound. The Bible says he's bound to things that are common to man. Amen. He has to line up certain things. This is what the Lord was telling Kenneth Copeland, and that's why I'm reading it. Line up certain things in this natural realm before he can lay a finger on you. He has to ask people to get his work done. He has to use people to get his work done. So he's got to speak in the ear of some pervert or some maniac that's over the edge, that either rejects the word of God or hasn't heard it, you know? And those people are used as tools for the enemy. Amen. So that's why we should be led by the Spirit before we get on airplanes and everything we do. You know, should just check in our spirit. Do I have a check? Is there anything here that I ought to know, Lord? I'm your child. If there's something going on, I need to know. You need to tell me.
Amen.
You know? But we are not bound to what's common to man. We are free to use what's common to God. He's given all that to us. The devil can't cause disaster in your life unless he's been given place. The Bible says to neither give place to the devil, so we know that we can. He's talking about fighting with your wife and your husband at that point. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But if you're not walking in love, love encompasses the whole law. That's the new law. So if you're not walking in love, you've broken the law of God. Amen? So it's good to make sure that you forgive people and you don't hold a grudge and you do what the Word of God says, no matter whether you're right, wrong, or they're wrong, or whatever. Amen? So he can't cause disaster in your life unless you give him place. You mean I have to walk on eggs like that? No, you don't have to walk on eggs. He'll let you know real quick when things aren't right in your life. If you have that kind of a relationship with him, you'll know. I've called people up, told them I'm sorry, you know, asked them to forgive me. I've called them 3 times, maybe the same person. And if they don't respond to me, there's nothing I could do about it, you know. And so you let it go, you know, and you pray. Maybe one day it'll be resolved. But you can't make people change, but you can change yourself. And you could do what's right before God. Amen. So the devil can't cause disaster in your life unless he's been given place by sin, doubt, disobedience. Ephesians 6:10 tells us that to put on the full armor of God. Amen? 6:10 through 18, put on the full armor of God. And if the full armor of God is the Word of God, that's all it is. Amen? When you put that on, the breastplate of righteousness, that means you're confirming that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You don't have to feel inferior. Amen? So therefore, you don't have to feel intimidated or anything like that. And you can have peace. Put on the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation. That's all the Word of God. Yep. You know what I mean? Right. Some people, sometimes, if you're going through a real situation, you have to actually put that on. Literally, you know, in the spirit, like speak it out. But we have, God's given us everything to protect us, everything. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what are you going to renew your mind with? The Word of God. You need to renew your mind to the Word of God. You know, we've been renewing our mind for such a long time that we don't really even think any other way.
Right.
You know what I mean? When we hear these stories and the things that are going on in this world, they're so, like, foreign to us. Like, how can anybody do that? You know, how could they really do that? Well, they're without God. They're void of God. They have unregenerated spirits. They are bound to do anything. They're bound by what we read, things that are common to man, but not common to God, you see? And so when he will use them in that capacity to kill, steal, and destroy, amen? So it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? By reading the Word of God. It's the cleaner. It's the cleaner. It's the light. The Word is the light, and when you read the Word, it'll light any darkness in your life. It'll show you what you need to change. Amen? And what, you know, and when you get that little check, you don't need a volcano to go off or a laser. You just get that little check. You know, little twitch there. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse the church. Cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, told the disciples, he said, you are already cleaned by the word that I've given you. You've been washed by the word. I speak to them in parables. He says, but you've heard the word. I've been walking with you. You know who I am. And so we wash ourselves with God's word. Amen?
Amen.
It's a spiritual washing. And the flesh doesn't have a say about it. Amen? When you wash yourself like that. So the word is so important. Ephesians 6:17 says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That's part of the armor. The sword of the Spirit. Devil, you're a liar.
Amen.
But you could say that in faith when you've been in the word.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just words. But then you need to sit down and make it a rhema word. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So Colossians 3:13 says, if ye, I love this. How many love the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians and the book of Galatians? I love them all. They're all good. But Colossians and Ephesians, oh my gosh. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, which we are, when he rose, so we rose with him, and we're seated with him in heavenly places. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection, your desires, your will on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. The old man is dead. It died, and a new man resurrected. You've been made, not even resurrected, you've been made a whole new man in Christ. For you are dead, and your life, your flesh means nothing, is what he's saying. Of course, you have the flesh to carry your spirit around. We're not stupid. But he says, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Seek, where there was a song. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Right? Because we're seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I got to get that song. I told your father that. They're old songs, but they're powerful. You know? There were some songs Pastor had on. I said, they ministered to young people. Maybe that's why there's a lot of old people in here. But I got to tell you something. They're good. They're good songs. There's an anointing on them. I mean, don't misunderstand. We have to minister to the young people at their level too, you know. But there's nothing, on a worship, there's nothing like the Word of God. If you sing the Word of God, hallelujah. All right, where am I? Almost at. Okay, so are you a doer of the word today or just a hearer? What value do you put on the word of God in your life? Take an assessment. Because the value that you put on God's word will be the degree in which you read it and do it. I'm sure when we do miss it, you go, oh, I missed reading. I'm going to the store and I didn't even read today. It's like, how dare you do that? You just feel lousy, don't you? And so you just ignore that word from God and go about your business and go shopping. Don't lie. You need to repent. Or whatever. So we need to take an assessment of our walk with Christ. Being a doer will activate your faith and give you power. As you read God's word, your spiritual ears hear it, and faith comes by hearing. Amen. Proverbs 4:20. Can anybody quote that or read it to me out loud so I don't have to open? Hurry up. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Come on. Louder. Ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, for they are health. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are health to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. How many believe that? Low word. Yeah, their spirit and life. So low word level, low faith level, because faith only comes by one way, and that's hearing. Amen. Well, That's it. I'm done. Amen?
Amen.
I think that was good.
I
do think that. Thank you, Eddie. Are you going to play?
Yes, sir.
I think that's good, not because I got it, but just I needed it.
Amen.
You know, I think it's something we all need. Amen? Encouragement along those.